Feast of Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a violent wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as of fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak. Now there were staying in Jerusalem devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And when the sound was heard, the multitude gathered together and were bewildered in mind, because each heard them speaking in his own language. But they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all of these that are speaking Galileans? And how have we heard each in his own language in which he was born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we have heard them speaking in our own languages of the wonderful works of God." Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word you have heard is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while yet dwelling with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your mind whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would indeed rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the prince of this world is coming, and in me he has nothing. But he comes that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do as the Father has commanded me." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down to fulfill the promise of our Lord, which we read in the Gospel, our Lord promises the Gospels at the last summer that the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit comes down and infuses in the church, lives in the church, as the soul dwells in the body. So we call this today, Pentecost, the birthday of the church, because it is when the soul essentially gets infused into the church. Just like the body without a soul is dead, so the church, and really those individual members of the church, without the Holy Spirit, are spiritually dead. So the Holy Spirit comes into us to give us that spiritual life. And he normally comes in, it's not a extraordinary event with wind blowing, and he normally comes at baptism. When we're baptized, we all become the temples of the Holy Spirit. We have not only the Holy Spirit, but the Father and the Son, the Holy Trinity dwells in us. Then also at confirmation, where there is an increase in the Holy Spirit. That Spirit lives in us to guide us. He's the soul of the church. And as a member of this church, he guides us. He makes us holy. Gives us the virtues and the graces and the gifts. And when we live that spiritual life, then our soul produces fruit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit. In today's Gospel, our Lord mentions one of them, peace. He says, "Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but a true peace in our souls." So what is this peace? It's not as the world gives. When we have peace between nations, that is a cessation of hostilities, or not fighting, or we can make peace with our, you know, unfortunately there are personal enmities between people. There's a cessation and ending of hostilities. We decide to live in peace. Well, that's not real peace. That's just, you're no longer fighting. That's something external. Sometimes we think peace is everybody working together towards a common goal. So we're all united in an effort. This is best illustrated with the military, where if they're fighting in a battle, all the soldiers are all focused on one goal. And between them, they all have a unity of will, all focusing in that direction. This is related to peace, but this is not peace itself. It's still external. This is what we call concordia. This is what the virtue of concordia, where cordia is heart, and that co-cordia means hearts all together. Which means our wills are all united to a certain goal. And that can be closely associated with peace, but not everywhere where there's concordia is there peace. Oftentimes where there is peace, there is concordia. So, you know, like here in the three priests here, you know, we're all of one heart. We all have the same goal here. That can be concordia, but there's also peace between us in getting that. You know, we all have one goal here in the church. You know, we should all have the one goal. All our hearts are directed in the same direction. Families are the same way. They should all be together. That, strictly speaking, isn't peace. Why isn't it peace? Because these are things outside of us. The cessation of hostilities, or myself and all these other people working towards a common goal, that's outside. True peace is in our individual hearts. Is when our heart, that is our desires, our will, what we want, is not, I don't want to use the word just satiated or satisfied, although that can be a type of peace, but we are not going out and desiring different things. We're satisfied with what we have. That is true peace. That's the peace that Christ is talking about. And specifically, we can see that. If the Holy Spirit is in us and we're living a spiritual life, then we should be satisfied. We're focused on Christ, on God, on fulfilling the will of the Father. You know, he says, anyone who loves me keeps my word. If we love him and we keep his commandments and we're focused on him, not in a fearful way, that is, oh, if I do this, I'm going to go to hell, but out of love, I am focused on this. All these other things aren't important. The worldly things aren't important, whether I have a bigger house, whether I have a brand new car, or my 2-year-old car is fine, or whether, you know, I wore these clothes once, it's time to get a new clothes. This is not being at peace. Those things fall away. Now, with this explanation, we need to make a distinction between a natural peace and a supernatural peace. What I'm talking about, what Christ is talking about, is supernatural. It's a virtue infused in us. And it's a virtue. We can work at it. We can develop it, but it's also in union with the Holy Spirit. He's giving it to us. There can also be a natural form of this. You know, think about someone who might not be spiritual, but they seem to be at peace. They have a nice house and, you know, they have nice things and they really don't want anything, but, you know, they might be wealthy and they live a nice, peaceful life. They're satisfied in that regard. That can be a natural peace. Of course, when we look at those, you know, those people might be, you know, they might recognize that something's missing in their life. That would be the spiritual. They might not be satisfied spiritually. But we can see this naturally. Another good example of this might be, you know, the child who wants, you know, like an ice cream cone. And as children are, they can start crying and, you know, they want that and they're not at peace. They want the ice cream cone. They want the ice cream cone. So finally, it's just give him the ice cream cone. Give him the ice cream cone. He's at peace, right? Until he sees that there's cake also, right? Then he wants the cake. Okay, so that can be a type of peace also. The will is satisfied. But that is, when we use the example of the child, we say, but that really isn't the virtue. Why? Because there's something out of kilter there already with the child's desire. The fact that we've satisfied this, but it's inordinate. If he's having a meltdown because he can't have a piece of some ice cream, there needs to be additional growth in the spiritual life, and that's part of what raising children is about, helping them, teaching them how to conquer themselves. So in one sense, the child gets peace, but then in another sense, we really look at his interior life, we say something still isn't right, something's out of kilter. We are often like that, though. Truths in the spiritual life are easily illustrated by looking at little children. And as adults, oftentimes we throw little tantrums. Of course, we might not cry and scream like little children, but oftentimes we want our own way. And we might do it in a different way than just scream and cry, but we still try to impose our will upon others. And this is not peace. This, of course, is something important, but oftentimes it's not at peace. And this can be anything in our life. Anything, you know. It's easy to look at material things. We look at our neighbor's house and we want a bigger house or, you know, the car. It's easy to see that. It's interesting to point out that when we understand this, we see that a lot of advertising is intended to make us lose our peace. Why? Because they want you to want this thing to buy it, right? So you lose your peace. Why? And so then your will wants this thing, whether you need it or not, and then you buy it. It might be a material thing, or there might be selling a lifestyle, you know. You'll be popular, right? If you do this, if you buy this, or just in general, a person cannot have peace because they want to be popular. They want to be liked by their peers and their neighbors inordinately, not properly. So this is an example of maybe a type of loss of peace, which isn't specifically material. And so this is to not be at peace. To be at peace is when our desires are satisfied by focusing on God. We live our spiritual life and we recognize that, you know, these things are good, but the greater good, God, is more important. If we have them, it's fine. May God be blessed. If we don't have them, may God be blessed. This is what peace is. You know, the most extreme example of this in the lives of the saints, of course, is St. Maximilian Kolbe. He died in a concentration camp. And he was put into a room with 9 other people, and they were left there to die, to starve to death. And the guards in the concentration camp said, it wasn't the first time they did it, they said usually people would descend into terror and they'd be screaming. They said, when the room with St. Maximilian Kolbe, there was peace in that room. They sang hymns. They knew they were going to die. They knew what they were there for. It wasn't a surprise. But they were at peace. There was no screaming, no crying. So we can see that St. Maximilian Kolbe had great peace in facing this, true death. But he, of course, had things properly ordered towards God. He's able to give that grace to the other people there in the room with him to face that death with peace. And this is what this fruit of the Holy Spirit is. It's both a virtue and a fruit. So when we look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit, they work by, if we're living the spiritual life, they will naturally arise in us. Now, peace is both a virtue and a fruit, so it's a virtue, so we can work at peace. We can consciously suppress our inordinate desires. We see a commercial for a new car, and we're like, I want that car. And then you think, well, I don't really need a car. I just got one 6 months ago. So we can actively, you know, suppress that. But it's also a fruit in the sense that it should naturally arise in us if we are living the spiritual life. And this is how the fruits work. We look at our interior life, and you have to be tuned into your interior life already. And you think, today, am I better at this than I was a year ago? Am I at more peace than I was a year ago? fruits of the Holy Spirit are just like, they're named because we think of like a tree. We have a tree, an orange tree, it has to be a fruit tree, of course, you know, orange tree. And as it grows and matures, it will naturally bear fruit if it is healthy. If it has been in the ground for 8 years and there's no fruit, then we have to ask ourselves, what is wrong here? Something is wrong. It's not getting enough sunlight. It's not getting enough water. Something's not right. So it is in our interior life. If we are not showing the fruits of the Holy Spirit, then we have to say, what is wrong? What's wrong with my interior life? First of all, you have to be focused on your interior life. You have to be able to look in yourself. You have to ask for that enlightenment. You pray to Our Lady and the Holy Spirit for that interior illumination. It takes time. You have to do maybe a review of conscience. You have to have a good spiritual life, good prayer life. But then you look. You compare yourself to the way you were a year ago. Do not compare yourself to other people. Because everybody's at a different level. And the idea is am I improving? Am I bringing forth fruit? You look at yourself in the past. You look at yourself now. You say yes. Or maybe no, I'm going in the wrong direction. Or maybe I don't really see anything. I don't see any difference. Then that is the indication of your progress in the spiritual life. And if you're not making progress in the spiritual life, just like that orange tree, you have to say, what is wrong? Am I not praying enough? Or am I, you know, what am I doing wrong? Or am I just, have I fallen into a rut? Am I not doing any spiritual reading? Am I getting too caught up in the cares of the world? I have a new job and it's taking all this time. That's what we have to do. This is how the fruits of the Holy Spirit work. Now, remember, the Holy Spirit is given to every one of us who is baptized. And this is, of course, assuming we're not in a state of mortal sin. The Holy Spirit is in us. And those of us who are confirmed, there's an increase. The Holy Spirit comes to us in a special way. And so every one of us has this. So we should then pray and look in our hearts in order to determine whether the Holy Spirit is fruitful in our lives. Peace is just one of the fruits, but it's important because it covers all of our appetites, all of our will, our different desires. And so it's a good indication of our spiritual life. So today on Pentecost, the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit is given to the church and given to us as members of the church, let us first of all thank Christ, thank God for this great gift. Let us also pray to the Holy Spirit for that enlightenment. Pray that He would bring forth good fruit and that He would show us what we need to do to bring forth greater fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.